Perspectives on Easter, a 1010 Thrive special. I have known Joseph and Mary and all their children since before Jesus was born. I was born and grew up in Nazareth, which was a small agricultural village with a population of only a few hundred people. As such, everyone who lived there knew each other. I was about 10 when Jesus was born. I remember hearing some rumors about his birth being unusual, but I never thought much about it until Jesus began his public ministry. As I was not the firstborn, I did not study with the rabbis, so I was not as well versed in the scriptures as some of my peers. But I was always curious about spiritual matters, and I would listen to the various teachers who would visit Nazareth from time to time. Now, I was working as a stonemason when Jesus returned home and visited our synagogue one Sabbath. By then, he had already spent several months preaching and teaching throughout the region of Galilee, performing numerous miracles, water into wine, healing, driving out evil spirits, and cleansing many of leprosy. He had also chosen the 12 apostles, who were to accompany him closely and learn from him in a more intimate way. Those of us from Nazareth had heard about what he was doing, and many were amazed that the son of Joseph the carpenter had established such a high profile. So that Sabbath, when Jesus was invited to speak to us, many, including me, were eager to hear what he had to say. When Jesus stood up to read from the scriptures, he was handed the scroll of Isaiah, and he read a passage that spoke of the coming of the Messiah and the good news that he would bring to the poor and oppressed. Jesus then told those present that this passage had been fulfilled in him, and that he was the Messiah that we had been waiting for. Most of the people got so agitated by what Jesus said that they tried to lay hands on him. They led him to the brow of the hill on which our town was built, with the intention of throwing him down from the cliff. But he escaped them, miraculously. The words that Jesus spoke and the fact that he was able to so easily get away from the angry crowd kept me awake for the next 2 nights. I wanted to see for myself if all the things that we had heard about him were true. I began following him. I heard him teach about living a righteous life, both in terms of outward behavior and inner thoughts and attitudes. He called on his followers to love their enemies and to pray for those who persecuted them. He warned against performing good deeds for the sake of public recognition, and instead encouraged his audience to give and pray in secret. He also encouraged us to trust in the Father's provision rather than worrying about material possessions. I was convinced that he was no ordinary person. At the very least, he was a teacher sent from God. The more time I spent with him, the more I believed that he was even more than that. As Jesus' work expanded, he recognized the need for more laborers to share the message of the gospel and prepare the way for his coming. He gathered 70 of us and sent us out in pairs to go ahead of him into the towns and villages where he intended to visit. He gave us specific instructions for our mission: to travel light, to greet the people we met with peace, to minister to whatever needs they might have, physical and material, and to proclaim that the kingdom of God was at hand. Jesus warned us that we would face opposition and rejection in some places, but he encouraged us to be persistent and to stay focused on our mission. For a few months, my partner Matthias and I visited various towns in Galilee, like Bethsaida and Capernaum, and we ventured beyond, as far away as Jericho. We stayed with those who welcomed us and moved on from those who did not. We were given the power to perform miracles, including healing the sick and driving out demons. I can remember the first time I called on God to heal someone. She was a little girl who was sick with a fever. I laid hands on her, prayed to God, and within 10 minutes after I removed my hand, she began to show signs of having recovered. Praise God. But as we had been warned, we sometimes face opposition. Some of the religious authorities prevented us from preaching, claiming that we had no authorization. Some people drove us from their neighborhoods, threatening to stone us. On a couple of occasions, we were struck by people wielding sticks. However, ministering in this way gave me a deeper understanding of what the Lord was doing and heightened my interest in learning more. During the week of Passover, I felt like I was being tossed around on the waves of the Sea of Galilee. Everything was up and down. It all started with the high of Palm Sunday and culminated in Preparation Day with the low of Jesus hanging on a tree. We were so convinced that he was going to establish his kingdom here on earth, and then all of a sudden he was dead. On the third day after Jesus' crucifixion, Matthias and I were walking along the road to Emmaus. We were talking about all that had happened, trying to make sense of it all. And then a stranger joined us on the road. We didn't recognize him at first, but he began to talk to us about the scriptures and about how they pointed to Jesus. He explained how everything that had happened to Jesus was part of God's plan. As we walked and talked, something stirred in my heart. It was like a fire that had been ignited, and I felt a sense of hope that I had not felt in days. When we arrived in Emmaus, we invited the stranger to stay with us. He agreed, and we sat down to eat. As he blessed and broke the bread, our eyes were opened, and we realized that it was Jesus who had been with us all along. We saw the wounds in his hand, and we could see him for who he was. It was like a veil had been lifted from our eyes, and we saw everything in a new light. We understood the scriptures in a way that we never had before, and we saw how everything pointed to Jesus. And then the Lord disappeared, just like that. I was filled with a sense of joy and wonder that I had never experienced before. Jesus was alive. He had risen from the dead just as he had promised. Although we had walked for 3 hours and were both exhausted, we knew that we could not stay in Emmaus. We returned at once to Jerusalem. We half walked, half ran, excited as we both were. I can't recall how long it took us, but it was certainly faster than we had ever traveled. When we arrived in the city, we should have been dead tired, but we were still filled with energy. We found the 11 and those with them assembled together. As soon as we made it through the door, I shouted, "It is true! The Lord has risen! He's alive!" Matthias then started recounting the details, and I just started grabbing my friends and embracing them. "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked?" Matthias asked me. "Yes, yes, yes," I shouted. "And how could we have missed it? How could we have missed how the prophecies pointed to Jesus and what he would have to suffer on our behalf? How could we have missed what he told us about himself? How could we have thought that Friday was the end when he himself told us that Sunday was coming?" The impact of the resurrection on my life has been profound. It has given me a sense of hope and purpose that I never had before. It has shown me that death is not the end and that there is more to this life than we can see with our physical eyes. After that, we went out into the world, preaching the good news of the resurrection to all who would listen. We shared our own experiences of encountering the risen Christ, and we saw how our words and our actions began to change hearts and minds. As I look back on that day on the road to Emmaus, I am filled with gratitude and wonder. I am so grateful that Jesus appeared to us and he opened our eyes to the truth of the scriptures. I am so grateful that he showed us the power of his resurrection and that he gave us a new way of seeing the world.